Welcome to the Life Central Bikers Church podcast. We trust that this message will speak into your life.
Father God, thank you that we can come before you this morning, Lord, and as we've just sung, it's not that I've seen you move the mountain, I've seen you move my mountain. I've seen you making a way for me. So Lord, I don't need all the tools. I don't need all the resources. All I need is what you give me. Thank you, Lord, that you make the way, you move the mountains, and you equip us. What a joy to worship in your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the band a hand. Sorry, this Oma jerseys, they get lekker warm. You know, the ones that your granny made, they're the most comfy and fluffy and the warmest. But welcome to all of you. It's good to spend another Sunday with you and just enjoy fellowship with you. Now this morning I want to share with you making the best of what God gave you. And so, you know, we just prayed, you know, that we don't need all the tools, all the resources, all the equipment. All we need is that which God gives us. And we need to make the most of what God gives us. And so I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes you find yourself in the space where you need to fix something, but you don't have all the tools. You don't have everything you need to do that repair. Or you need to solve a problem, but you don't have all the resources. And maybe depending on how big the problem is or how broken the thing is, you might have a little freak out, a mini meltdown, but then you step back, you take a deep breath, and you assess what you have at your disposal. And then that MacGyver plan kicks in. Now then resilience and creativity kicks in. And you end up solving that problem or fixing that thing by making the best of what you have at your disposal, using the tools that you have. And so isn't it interesting how sometimes we fall in this rut of negativity about everything we don't have? Now, everything I need, but I don't have. Everything other people has, but I don't have it. And then, you know, when that happens, we actually lose sight of the things that we actually have. And we tend to miss opportunities. We tend to miss possibilities. And sometimes we even make the wrong decisions. Because out of desperation, emotion drives us to grab at anything that looks like the solution, even though it isn't the solution. You know, those scenarios where you need God to come through for you by this date and time, and 2 hours before that time, it seems to you as if God still didn't come through. And then you start making your own plans, taking things into your own hands, and you solve or try to solve that problem the way you think you should. Because emotion drives you to move out of desperation. And so, instead of that, what if we were to make the best of that which God has given us? I mean, we are called to be good stewards of the things that God gave us. Make the best of what God has given you, and He'll do the rest. Make the best of what God has given you, and He'll do the rest. See, when you move as a faithful steward with those things that God has given you, He will move mightily through the things that He has given you. And so, if we just have a look at some of the things that God has given us. So, the first and probably the most obvious is we all have talents and abilities. And maybe you don't know yet what your talents are. Maybe you don't know yet what it is that you are good at. And so the best way to discover what it is that you're good at, the best way to discover what your talents are, is to come and serve. The best way to develop those talents, develop those abilities, is to come and serve. And so, you know, come chat to us after the service, and we'll gladly share with you where you can serve. Galatians 6, verse 4 from the Message Bible, that last part of verse 4 says, "Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life." The key here is to don't compare. Don't look at what others have and you don't. How well it is going with someone else while you are struggling. Don't compare. Instead, look at what it is that God has given you. Come and serve and discover those talents and abilities. The parable of the servants in Matthew 25, I think sometimes we miss an angle there. Because the thing is, when the master of that estate left, the things he entrusted the servants with, he entrusted them with stuff that they needed to grow for the benefit of the estate. And so the things that God has given us, we need to use for the benefit of heaven. And so, maybe if we just look at the church we call home, imagine what it would look like if every single person makes the best of that which God has given us. Imagine what it will look like if every single person says, "Hey, where can I serve? With what can I help? I want to help you guys build. I want to discover my gifts and abilities. I want to develop it. Where can I serve?" And so from the parable in Matthew 25, we can deduce that we as believers have a lifelong responsibility to develop and to grow the things that God has given us. He didn't give it to you to dig a hole and put it in the ground. He gave it to you to use, to grow, to use for the benefit of heaven. And so imagine God's joy when He sees you as a faithful servant using those gifts, those talents, telling others about Jesus. Imagine His joy as He sees His church grow and you right there in the center helping to build, helping to serve. Imagine His joy as a community gets touched as Jesus is shared with the community and you right there using your gifts, your talent, your abilities. Now, my father-in-law was admitted to the emergency room this week. And something interesting happened there. And, you know, as he's lying on the bed, you know, he took off his shoes. And eventually the doctor came to fetch him to take him for some scans and stuff. And as he swung his feet off the bed, you know, to put his shoes on, you know what the doctor did? She kneeled at his feet to tie his shoes. Imagine that, making the best of what God has given you. This doctor is a doctor. He's not a servant to tie people's shoes. But she makes the best of what God has given her. She recognizes that I'm called to serve. There's more at stake than just me. And she kneels. And she ties a man's shoes. How many doctors do you know does that? And so, one of the other things that God gave us is finances. Now, usually when we just mention finances in church, you know, people start moving around because there's a lot of us who don't like it when finances are mentioned in church. But here's the reality. Some people have much. Some have little. Some don't struggle at all financially. They're living a good life financially. And some, they struggle. It's tight. They wonder what it's going to look like the end of this month. But we see in God's Word, it is not about how much money you have. Rather, it's about what you are doing with what He has given you. Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. She made the most what God gave her. And so financially, are you giving God your best? That's a question for you to answer. Maybe on top of that, we just sung, I see my God moving mountains. I see my God making a way for me. And so what would it look like in your life if financially you make the most of what God has given you? In this time, all of us are given the same 24 hours in a day. If my maths is correct, that's about 1,440 minutes in a day. And so let's say maybe you use 10 minutes praying each day, 10 minutes reading God's Word each day. That's a mere 20 minutes of your 1,440 minutes you get in a day. In a week, that's about 10,080 minutes. And of that, most of us, we spend about 60 minutes of that in church. 60 minutes. Of your 10,000 weekly minutes. And so, what would it look like if when it comes to your time, you make the best, you make the most of the time God has given you? What would it look like if you spend more time serving? What would it look like if you spend more time telling others about Jesus? What would it look like if you spend more time discipling someone? Or how about this? How much time do you commit to each week to being discipled? Invest your time in things that will help you grow. So what would it look like in your life? You make the most of the time that God has given you. Then there's our circle of influence, the people we interact with, cross paths with on a daily, weekly basis. Colleagues, clients, friends, family, the odd stranger here and there, that person you meet for the first time. All of those are opportunities to use for the benefit of heaven. All of those are God-given opportunities. And so what if, as a result of our interaction with others, we have more people saying yes to Jesus? We have more people asking for prayer. We have more people that after having a conversation with you, they leave with hope. What if because of their interaction with you, we see more people? Yeah. What if, as a result of your interaction with others, they are being equipped to bring in the harvest? On my left, those glass doors there, above them, there's a sign that says you are now entering the harvest field. And so here's how I see it. It means that when I enter again through those doors, I should enter with a harvest in hand. Because I left there going into the harvest field. As jy uitgaan om die oes in te bring en jy kom met leë hande terug, wat het jy gaan doen? Wat het jy gaan doen? When we leave here and we're entering the harvest field, we should come back with a harvest. Maybe this is a bit of an ouch or amen one, but if you look around you in church, the first 10 people you see, are they here because you invited them? Are they here because you've invested in their lives? And they've committed to call this church their home? Are you making the best of the circle of influence that God has given you? Are you bringing in the harvest? And then, for those of us who are married, you were given a husband. You were given a wife. What would your relationship look like if you make the most of the marriage that God gave you? So, husbands, what would change if you regularly tell your wife, "I love you"? Not like over the phone, like look her in the eye and say, "I love you." What would happen if you regularly tell your wife, "She's beautiful"? What would happen if you regularly pray out loud for your wife? Like in her presence, like she's standing here and you're laying hands on her. And as the head of the home, you're praying over your wife. What would happen in your marriage? What would happen if when you talk to your friends, you speak of your wife in high regard? What would happen if you pursue your wife daily, like when the time that you were dating? Wives, what would change in your marriage if you regularly tell your husband, "I'm proud of you"? You regularly tell him, "I look up to you. Thank you for leading us." Do you regularly build him up? Maybe after a tough day, you as his helper, come stand here next to him, put your arm around him, and you pray out loud for your husband. What would happen in your marriage? What would happen if, when you speak to your friends about your husband, you speak about him with honor? What would happen? You love him daily, like love him crazy daily, like when you were dating. I don't know about you, but I reckon there's a lot that's going to change in your marriage. You make the best of that partner that God has given you. And so God has given us all of these things for a purpose. And we have a responsibility to be good stewards of those gifts. We have a responsibility to grow those things, to develop it. So ask yourself, the things that God has given me, am I using it for my benefit, for the benefit of others? Now we can go on and on about everything that God gives us. But I think, you know, each of us, we should take a hard look at ourselves and ask, am I making the best of what God has given me? Ask yourself, what would it look like if I give God, by extension, this church and ministry, my very best? What if I start living in the truth that to be my best, I must give God my best? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself. For it was to this life that God called you when you firmly professed your faith before many witnesses. So if God gives you his best, don't you think the least you can do is to give him your best? James 1 verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes, casts a shifting shadow. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And so refuse to be distracted. You see, the world out there tells us that it's all about you. You need to make the best of what you have so that you can fill in the blank. It's all about you. That's what the world says. The living word of God says it's all about God and you using what He has given you for His honor as you touch the lives of others. What He has given you, you are to use to touch the lives of others. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Now, for those of you who've spent some time on a shooting range, especially like a long distance shooting range, you'll know that as you lie behind that rifle, there's a lot of small corrections and adjustments you need to make to your optic. You know, elevation, windage, you know, to compensate for all of that. And so you need to make those small adjustments and corrections on your scope. And that's all just so that you can hear that faint ding a few hundred meters downrange. Or like When you're driving your car or riding your motorcycle, you constantly have to make some steering input, small corrections and adjustments to stay in your lane or to just stay on the road. Swerve for a whole year and for some other cars there, but you need to make some steering inputs the whole time. And so in your life, where is it that you need to make those small adjustments, those corrections, so that you can make the most of what God has given you? And so, where is it that you have not been making the best of what God has given you? Maybe as I spoke this morning, some things popped up. You immediately felt it land. You know, that's me. I'm not giving my best there. You know, I trust that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in your heart, showing you where it is that you need to make those small adjustments and corrections. And so as you ponder on where to from here, think about this. Just as in the parable of the servants, Matthew 25, when you honor God, He honors you. It's not about what He can do for you. Rather, it's about what you are doing with what He has given you. And so maybe for you, you've been so focused on everything you don't have, all the tools that's missing, that you forgot to thank God for the things that you do have. And so maybe your next step is to start thanking God for the things that He has given you, because you've been so distracted by everything you don't have, you forgot to praise Him for what you do have. Maybe your next step this morning, you need to say, God, how can I honor You with that which You has given, with that which You have given me? And so as the ushers get ready for communion this morning, they're going to hand out the elements, and we're going to take communion together as a church. So we're going to wait for each other, that now all of us have the communion elements. But as they're busy handing it out, I just want to read a piece of scripture that all of us know very well. Matthew 26, and I'm reading from verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is My body." And He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is My blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." Now, not too long ago, we celebrated Easter weekend. And the highlight of it was Resurrection Sunday. And so just as Jesus did not stay in the grave, but rose, He went in as the lamb to pay the price, but He came out as the lion. And so for you and me, the things that we struggle with, those scenarios, those spaces that you might find yourself in right now, where you feel, I don't have everything I need to get through this. Lord, I need this, this, and this to solve this problem. I've got this thing at work or this thing in my relationship. Remember that just as Jesus did not stay in the grave, He's not only with you in that challenge, but He's going to see you through. He did not stay in the grave. He rose and came out the Lion of Judah. And so that space where you might find yourself in, He's omnipresent. He's with you right there in that problem, in that mess, in that situation. But He's going to walk you through and see you through to victory. And so, okay, so we're going to take our crackers representing the bread, Jesus' body. And we're going to thank Him for His body that was broken for us. He gave you everything, all of it. As you take that and praise Him for it, ask Him, Lord, show me where I have not been giving You everything. Then our grape juice, representing the blood of Jesus that washed us clean. Know that just as He washed you clean from your sins, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. He did that for you thousands of years ago. That very same Jesus will see you through whatever it is that you might be facing right now. And so as we drink from this cup, give Jesus praise, give Him thanks, washing you clean, for making you anew, for the fact that He's the same Jesus. He's walking with you right now. Lord, thank You that we can come before You, and Your word says about communion, do this as often as you can in remembrance of Me. What a privilege it is to, as a church community, as a family, get together, give You all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks for making each of us a new creation, for setting us free, paying the price. The fact that You had each of us by name in mind when You hung on the cross. And then may we never forget that very same Jesus that set us free, the same Jesus that's with us today, that thing that we might be facing right now, those emotions that we might be wrestling with, that thing that we're trying to figure out how we're going to do it this week, that very same Jesus is with us in all of that. And so my prayer this morning is that each of us will invite You in every situation, all circumstances, and ask, Lord, how can I make the best what You have given me? I've seen You move my mountains before. I've seen You making a way for me before. And I know You can do it again. Lord, I pray that you keep all of us safe when we head home in a couple of minutes. Be with each and every family that's represented here this morning, Lord. Be with them during the week. May they experience the fullness, the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The band's going to sing us out with a last song.
Thank you for listening to the Life Central Bikers Church podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, or visit our website at lifecentralchurch.org.za and get in touch.